This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
And we went after four Democrats and four Republicans because this is truly a bipartisan scam.
While Florida's Constitution Revision Commission failed to close the so-called write-in loophole, backers of the unsuccessful amendment are trying a new tactic to catch dummy candidates.
No more free passes. We're going to hold them accountable. If they don't feel shame in what they're doing by depriving thousands or millions of people of their voting rights, well, at least maybe they can answer for the fact that their financial disclosure forms to run as a write-in are misleading.
That's Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg. He's our special guest this week. Plus, he'll bring us an update on Florida's battle in the opioid crisis, at least in his area.
We've had a 62% decrease in the number of opioid overdose deaths in Palm Beach County compared to the first 4 months of last year.
All that and more coming up on episode 150 of The Rotunda. Welcome to The Rotunda. Have you considered running for office? Well, maybe you have a friend who is running and maybe wants to recruit you to be a stand-in, just a dummy candidate. Well, it has happened many times. There is a loophole that allows friends and even family members of incumbents who are in office to file as write-in candidates. There have been people who have raised a lot of issues with this because it would close out that race, meaning a large block of voters will be unable to choose. So let me back things up. Florida voters almost had the opportunity this November to change that 20-year loophole in state election law through Florida's Constitution Revision Commission. So as the law stands, all Florida voters, regardless of party, are allowed to cast ballots in a primary race when candidates have no opposition outside their party. However, a write-in candidate effectually closes the primary to all voters except those of the same party as the main candidate. Like I said, this has caused a lot of chaos over the years, and it has led to a bipartisan movement to change Florida's Constitution. But it failed, and my special guest is about to explain why. So, Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg, welcome back to The Rotunda. So glad to have you back on the program.
It's great to be back, Tramell.
So the last time we talked, you were here in Tallahassee, and things were going great, I thought, or we thought, with your attempts to fix the write-in loophole through Florida's Constitution by having it part of the CRC's constitutional amendment. What happened?
Well, I always knew it was an uphill battle because it's hard to get people who benefit from the system to change the system. And the CRC is largely a political body. They were picked for, you know, by politicians to do the bidding in many cases, politicians and party bosses. And so it's no surprise that at the end of the day, that the amendment to actually stop this notorious election scam failed on a close vote. And so I appreciate those who voted with us. But, you know, as I talked to the members of the CRC, they told me this was pre-decided, just like most votes up in Tallahassee. It was already decided who was going to vote for, who was going to vote against. So it didn't look like it was a landslide, but they were not going to let it pass. And it's really a shame because this is about doing good for the voters, for the people, for voting rights, for democracy. Unfortunately, the CRC couldn't be trusted to do even that.
For those who don't know, this write-in loophole, the provision enables hundreds of candidates in both major parties, both parties, to close primary elections and disenfranchise voters. Give us some background or an example of this in play.
20 years ago, the last Constitutional Revision Commission put an amendment on the ballot that said that if all the candidates in a race come from the same party, then everyone gets to vote in that primary. That amendment passed with 64% of the vote. And the politicians found a way to undo it through a really sinister loophole where a write-in candidate undoes the entire amendment. So a phony write-in candidate, you put up your Uncle Bob, you put up your friend, you put up someone associated with your own campaign, that person doesn't have to fill out any petitions or get petitions, doesn't have to write a check to get on the ballot. In fact, that person's name is not even on the ballot, just a line. And in so doing, though, in a matter of minutes, your election has been closed only to party members. So, for example, in Lee County, in the 20th Judicial Circuit, that's Collier, Lee, Charlotte, Hendry, Glades, and I believe DeSoto, but I'm not 100%. But those counties have a state attorney, the chief law enforcement officer of the county. Well, the race was between two Republicans because in that area, it's very difficult to get elected unless you are a Republican. So the only two people who qualified to run were two Republicans. So under the Constitution, everyone gets to vote. But one of the two candidates found a sham write-in candidate and convinced this person to run as a write-in. Didn't pay a fee, didn't get signatures, just filled out some paperwork, and voila, 500,000 people were disenfranchised. And that's a majority of the voters, because if you add Democrats plus independents plus small parties, you have a majority of the voters in the 20th Judicial Circuit will not have a say in who is their state attorney. And that's a disgrace.
You're listening to The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg. So Florida voters will not have a chance in November to have a say on this through the constitutional amendment. What are they missing out on?
Well, they're missing out on democracy. I mean, this is a real stain on our democracy when you can have sham candidates taking away your right to vote. And I know the argument on the other side. The argument on the other side is that, hey, I don't want Democrats voting in my primary and Republicans shouldn't be voting in Democratic primaries. Well, fine, but that's not what the voters wanted. In 1998, the voters voted overwhelmingly for open primaries in this one limited case where everyone in an election comes from the same party. So you either believe in the voters' intent or you don't. You either believe in democracy or you don't. But the will of the voters has to mean something. And just because you disagree with the will of the voters, just because you came up short on the election where 64% of the voters ruled or voted for open primaries in the situation, it doesn't mean you get to undo it through some shenanigans, through some deceptive sham candidate who now undoes everything that the voters wanted. And that's a real shame. And the courts have held, because write-ins technically do qualify as a general election candidate, it does undo everything that the voters wanted, even though this issue of write-in candidates was never even discussed or considered. It was not the will of the voters to allow them to disenfranchise voters. So we're going to keep moving ahead, those of us who want to fight this loophole, by filed ethics complaints. Sherry Plymel, a Republican from Martin County who was on the Constitution Revision Commission, she and I sponsored an amendment to get rid of this loophole, but that's the one that failed. But what we've done now is we found eight of these write-in candidates from throughout the state, and we have filed ethics and elections complaints against them for incomplete and inaccurate financial disclosure forms. So the thinking is that write-in candidates, usually they come in, they disenfranchise voters, and they sneak away with anonymity. They get a free pass at this. Well, no longer. No more free passes. We're going to hold them accountable. If they don't feel shame in what they're doing by depriving thousands or millions of people of their voting rights, well, at least maybe they can answer for the fact that their financial disclosure forms to run as a write-in are misleading and or incomplete and inaccurate.
So how does the financial disclosure form, how is that like an indicator of a wrongdoer, someone who's in it not for the right purposes? Is
Tramell, every candidate has to fill out a financial disclosure form, even write-in candidates. So what Sherry and I did was that we looked at all the write-in candidates from throughout the state. We then narrowed it down to just the write-in candidates whose existence disenfranchised voters. Those are the ones we believe were sham candidates, were put up just to deprive people of the vote. This is a case of politicians choosing their voters as opposed to voters choosing their politicians. So we narrowed it down just to the write-ins whose filings had the effect, like in the 20th Judicial Circuit I just mentioned, of disenfranchising voters. Then we looked at their, just those candidates, we looked at their financial disclosure forms, and we looked for multiple errors. If it was one mistake, we generally put it aside. But if it was multiple errors, if they were glaring errors, glaring omissions, we filed a complaint with the Secretary of State and a separate complaint with the Commission on Ethics, because when you file your financial disclosure forms, they're done under oath. And when you leave off things like, for example, there's one of the eight candidates, and we went after four Democrats and four Republicans because this is truly a bipartisan scam.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com to learn more about sponsoring this program. Again, that's rotundapodcast.com. Back to the program.
Are two of the eight candidates, when they filled out their forms, under assets, they listed zero. Under liabilities, they listed zero. Under income, they listed zero. And so we filed complaints. And in fact, one of them has already admitted now in the press that he gets Social Security income and he has child support liabilities, but he didn't disclose any of these things on his financial disclosure forms.
So what's the consequence before him and the others?
Well, there should be an investigation by the Ethics Commission and the Secretary of State's office. And then after an investigation, if they find that our complaints were justified, that we were accurate in what we alleged, that there could be fines. And for egregious, blatant violations, it could be referred to other agencies. I don't expect any of the candidates to be referred to criminal investigations. I don't expect that. I think we're dealing with probably fines. I think maybe there's a chance that one of the write-ins can withdraw from the race. That just happened in a Polk County State House race where a sham write-in candidate, I don't know why he decided to drop out, but he admitted that he didn't know why he was running. And so he dropped out, and now everyone can vote in that state house race in Polk County. So hopefully maybe one of these folks will decide to do the right thing and drop out. And if not, well, then hopefully they will have to explain themselves to state agencies why they misled the voters on their financial disclosure forms.
All right. Well, Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg, thank you so much for that update on that issue. I wanted to check in before we wrap up. How are things with the opioid epidemic in your area, your neck of the woods? I know it was a hot spot. Have things gotten better?
We have some good news when it comes to the opioid epidemic in Palm Beach County. The efforts of our Sober Homes Task Force, along with the great work of our first responders who have been armed with Narcan, which brings people back to life after overdoses, and also they've been doing great follow-ups with individuals who overdose instead of just releasing them from the hospital only to overdose again, sometimes in the hospital's own parking lots. With a combination of stronger enforcement, we've made 54 arrests in Palm Beach County in the last year and a half on patient brokering and insurance fraud. We've increased support for rehabilitation, proper rehabilitation, not the sham corrupted rehabilitation, but legitimate players in the industry stepping up. We have had in the first 4 months of 2018, we've had a 62% decrease in the number of opioid overdose deaths in Palm Beach County compared to the first 4 months of last year. And in Delray Beach, we've had a 79% decrease in the number of opioid overdose deaths in the first 4 months of this year compared to the first 4 months of last year.
All right. Well, that's certainly good news. And I thank you so much for joining me here on the program. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jamal. Love the podcast, and I hope to see you soon.
Likewise. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.